Legends, the greatest social casino experience has arrived at Legends.com. With thousands of the best free-to-play casino-style games, chances to earn millions of bonus coins and win real money. Legends is revolutionizing the Vegas experience wherever you are. If you love winning, then you'll love playing at Legends.com. Legends is a free-to-play social casino. Void where prohibited. Play responsibly. Visit Legends.com for more information. Legends with a Z.com is legendary fun. Your night in just got legendary. Get ready to chase the rush, spin, win, and redeem instantly straight to your bank account at legendswithaz.com. With free-to-play slots, blackjack, keno, roulette, and more, experience all the thrills of Vegas without leaving your couch. Legends has it all.
Legends is a free-to-play social casino. Void where prohibited. Must be 18 plus. Play responsibly. Visit legends.com for full details.
Get in the game now and score a 50% bonus on your first purchase only at legendswithaz.com.
So reality is questionable. Try, but you just can't let it go. These two right here put on a show. It's paranormal overload with Southern hospitality. Haunted murder mayhem tip while discussing immortality. Locations with a dark past, history that comes to life. Hillbillies with a knack for everything that goes bump at night. Overthinking if you're by yourself, these two will have you turning on the lights. Mixing in a little comedy to make sure it all fits in just right. Hey.
Welcome to Hillbilly Horror Stories. Now here's your hosts, Jerry and Tracy Punk, and their dog Ninja,
and sometimes their cat Freddy, but never the ferrets.
Hey guys, welcome to episode 401 of Hillbilly Horror Stories. I'm Jerry.
And I'm Tracy.
Tracy, obviously, we want to start off our show thanking all of our military and civil servants all over the world, no matter which country you represent. Thanks for all you men, women, and service animals that keep us safe on a regular basis.
You guys are always in our prayers, like we tell you every single week. And we actually like hearing from you guys. We get a couple messages every now and then and everything, and it's really, really nice. So thank a veteran when you see them and say a special prayer for them at night.
Yeah, I know Tiffany Newcomer actually left a couple of comments on our YouTube page on some of the military stories that we covered on there. So, like I said, under their military family,
yes,
we had an opportunity to meet her and Daniel.
Yes.
A couple years ago in Louisville. So.
Mm-hmm. Very nice. Thank you for that, Tiffany, by the way.
Also, we need to make sure that we mention that it's a tough time for a lot of people. And if you're struggling, we want to make sure you know that there are outlets. It's there's no shame at all in admitting that you're having some mental distress every now and then. We all do.
Yeah, I've been on the struggle bus a little bit myself here lately.
So I just want to make sure that people realize, you know, there's no shame in it. Please talk to somebody if you're struggling. Trust me when I tell you that your friends, your family members would rather you come to them with some situations than attend your funeral.
Oh, that's really true. You guys, we're always out there for you. Our group is always there for you. We can give you our personal numbers if need be, or you can call the crisis hotline at 988. You can text 741-741. You're not alone, guys. We're here for you.
Absolutely. So, Tracy, whenever we do these live events, we like to do multiple stories. And since these are the stories that we're going to be doing in Casadega for the live event, I thought I'd round up some really good ones. So it really is a mixture. And I like to call these paranormal potpourri. So this is paranormal potpourri 3.
Oh.
And I think the last one, or the first one we did was probably for a live event. But anyway.
I wonder how they smell.
I don't know.
Paranormal potpourri.
I mean, there's probably cigar smoke.
Oh, no.
Because, you know, it's a smell that always seems to pop up. Yeah. Or rose or lilac.
Mm.
Those are the three that always pop up. Apparently, nobody knew how to do anything else as far as colognes or perfumes and rose and lilac. Kristen Stewart from Twilight fame. And it was put the people who did Queer Eye for the Straight Guy.
Mm-hmm.
are the ones who put it all together. So I'm excited to have Ken on. He's pretty funny.
Awesome. Awesome.
So anyways, I've got some stories here, different stories, a little bit of a mixture of everything. I like kind of doing that. Different types of paranormal events. So there's something for everybody. These are all obviously going to be shorter stories. They're not deep dives because it's harder to keep people's attention at a live show when you're doing a 45-minute story on something.
Yeah, true.
All right. So who wants to start with an Ouija board story?
I don't know, but why you got to call it that? That gets on my daggone nerves.
That's what it is. It's an Ouija board.
Well, that's dumb. Well, go ahead.
So this story comes from a gentleman by the name of Jason. He sent us the story a while back, and I haven't read it on the air because I wanted to save it for this. So Jason, he went to Penn State University. This was back in 2006, which is where the event actually took place.
Okay.
So this took place during his college years. At the time, Jason was dating a girl by the name of Erin. Well, Erin was big into New Age ideas, things like magic and paganism. And Jason didn't really feel like that was his cup of tea initially, but he said he learned a lot from her. And eventually, he met some of her like-minded friends. So during the conversations of some of her friends, it came up that one of the rooms in the oldest building on campus caused two of them, a guy and a girl who actually were dating at the time, to experience a lot of psychic distress. Here's what I'm talking about. Kyle, who was the gentleman of the group, would frequently get nosebleeds whenever he was in that classroom. Julie would frequently get disoriented and scared whenever she was in there. Now, they didn't know that each other had this situation.
Oh, they didn't tell each other.
No, they didn't know initially. And then once they started talking about it, it was like, oh, that's strange.
Yes, it is.
So now they're discussing it with a big group of people. And this led to one of the people in there thinking, you know what? It'd be fun to sneak up there one night. So, of course, they all decided to do it. It was Jason, Erin, Kyle, Julie, a girl named Sharon, and a medium by the name of Audra.
Wonder how they found her. They just, like...
I think, well, that's what his girlfriend was into, so I'm sure she had all kinds of circles of...
Well, that's true. Okay.
Wiccans and, mm-hmm. and mediums and stuff like that. And then there was another girl by the name of Keisha. And apparently Keisha and Sharon had both had a lot of paranormal experiences in the past. In fact, Jason grew up in a haunted house, so he's got some experiences of his own. Oddly enough, though, none of the three considered themselves to be mediums or even sensitive for that matter. So on the way up to the building they were going to, Jason stopped at Walmart and he bought...
No.
...an Ouija board.
I didn't know they still had those out there.
Oh, sure they do.
Oh,
you can go right to Walmart and buy one.
I guess because I haven't looked for them, so...
This one was a glow-in-the-dark one.
And, oh, you know, cool.
Of course it was. So, let's manifest some demons and then have a rave at the same time, I guess. I don't know. So, they're playing with the board. And at first, the planchette wasn't doing anything.
And they're like, man, what a ripoff.
But then it started twitching.
The board? The planchette.
And then it started whipping around, choosing all these different letters that didn't seem to make any sense.
Well, if it's going by so fast, how are they supposed to read it?
Well, Kyle was actually writing the letters down. And then out of nowhere, Audra, remember she's the medium,
mm-hmm.
she started to have these little mini convulsions. Her eyes rolled up in the back of her head. She started spasming and making these horrific pig noises.
Oh.
Not snorting and squealing. It was more of a guttural groan that sounded like a pig. How do you think that would sound?
It would sound like... Hey.
What the hell kind of pigs have you been around in your life? So it was a sound that Jason could not believe was actually coming from a human being. Then she starts crawling toward the door. The planchette was still going crazy. So Kyle jumps up and he runs towards Audra to kind of keep her from heading towards the stairway.
Oh.
Which was right outside the doors.
Okay.
So that was what he was trying to avoid happening, was her falling down the steps. So that kind of snapped the rest of the group out of this little...
trance? Or whatever.
Yeah, I would say trance is probably a good word. And keep in mind that Audra was a small little slim girl, but it took three or four of them to keep her from leaving the room. All the while, she had this pig horrible noises coming from her. So the group could feel this incredible sense of danger. There wasn't a terrible smell that you would think or you would hear about in some situations like that. But so that's the one thing that they noticed, is there wasn't a smell. But it was truly terrifying nonetheless. So afterwards, they packed up and they got the heck out of there. They went back to Jason's crappy apartment over a crappy pizza restaurant and they stayed huddled together. But Tracy, there's a twist to the story. So Jason says that he threw out the Ouija board.
Mm-hmm.
But years later, when he was moving out of his parents' house, he found it underneath the bed.
Oh my gosh.
So.
Seriously?
He says he knows he threw it out because he said, why would he keep it?
Yeah.
But sure enough, there it was.
Ooh, that sounds familiar, don't it?
It does sound familiar.
Wow.
All right, Tracy. Our next story comes from Devon, England. This is actually a little bit longer story. You know, we've talked on the show about the devil's footprints before.
Mm-hmm.
And that was also in Devon. But that was also in 1855. We're going to be a little more focused on a newer story this time. So our story is on Fiona Hutchings and her husband, Viv. Now, Viv's not going to come along until a little bit later in the story. But in 1998... they were living in a camper. But before that, they lived in their dream home. So that was before their lives were actually turned upside down. And ever since the devil's footprints, there's been tales of witchcraft, devil worship, and black magic in the woods and the moors of Devon. There's even been talk of human sacrifices.
Oh my gosh.
So let's start in 1988. Fiona saw her dream house for the very first time. She said to herself, self, this is the house that I'm going to live in forever. Nope. Wasn't going to be. So Fiona was a 36-year-old nurse, right?
Yes.
And she had lived for years in isolation out on the moors. Now, she has her dream house. It's called Hawthorne Cottage. The home had been built in 1914 and it sat on a nice little wooded lot. And she really couldn't afford the house, but she made the move to be near her mom, who had become really sick. So Fiona's son had recently left home, so that left Fiona, pretty much at the time, who was unmarried, all by herself to kind of take the challenge of making this house a home.
Oh, okay. So she didn't move in with her mom then?
No.
Okay.
You would have thought that would have been the smarter thing to do if finances were tight.
I mean, you would think, but she wanted this house, so sometimes you got to do what you want to do.
Right. So from the very beginning, Fiona said she felt like there was something very strange about the atmosphere. And after 6 months in the cottage, Fiona's mother passed away, leaving her completely alone.
Oh, I'm sorry, Fiona.
Then she met an elderly neighbor. And this neighbor gave her some disturbing news about the home. She said that even as a child, she would never pass by that house because she'd been told by her mother not to, because there was all sorts of funny goings on there.
I mean, so if she could never pass by the house, how does she go in and out?
She didn't live there, babe. She was a neighbor.
No, that's what I'm saying, though.
But she didn't go in and out of that house.
Oh.
Because her mom told her not to walk by that house.
That's so what I meant.
Well, imagine they came from a different direction.
Well, that's true.
She probably didn't have more than one way to get to the house. Okay. I'm going to speculate.
My bad. Go ahead.
When Fiona asked her what exactly that meant, the old lady said, very naughty things went on there. The elderly woman then told her that the previous owner of the house had gone crazy, and that's why he didn't live there anymore.
No way.
Fiona assumed that this was just neighborhood gossip, of course, and and maybe this elderly woman might be a little special. Or was she? Because 2 months later, Fiona made a gruesome discovery. While she was working in her flower beds, she dug up something unexpected. Dead cats.
Oh, come on.
Each one had been mutilated and wrapped in plastic bags and buried in a north, south, east, and west position.
The poor kitty cats.
Obviously, she felt this was strange and unnerving. The burying of sacrificial animals is generally associated with black magic rituals. Now, Fiona had always felt uneasy in the house, as we talked about that, but digging up the cats seemed to trigger something unpleasant. She started having some major problems with anything electrical in the house. Like, she felt like the home was literally turning against her. In a very short period of time, she went through 3 TVs, a microwave that caught on fire. The washing machine wouldn't turn off. It just stayed on nonstop. And she had 2 fires that just randomly started.
Yeah, that's not a good sign.
So Fiona's sanity was actually being tested here. And this came all to a head on October 9th, 1989. So she drank some hot chocolate before she went to bed because she said it helped her sleep and she hadn't been sleeping well. She was awoken by the sound of several children. She had heard her name whispered in the house a little bit before, but she had never heard children. She was scared to death, but she couldn't get out of bed. It was like something was pinning her to the bed. Mm-hmm. And there were children crawling all over the surface of the bed.
Oh.
Her first thoughts were, how did these children get in the house and what in the hell are they doing here in the middle of the night?
Yeah, and she's also like, get off me.
Well, then she thought, I feel like something terrible has happened. And these kids aren't real.
Oh. Like she died or something?
I don't know. But then they just vanished. So for 6 or 7 months, this happened every single night.
For 6 or 7 months? Yes. Every single night?
She wasn't sure if it was real or if she was just starting to have some mental episodes.
Oh my gosh, I would be thinking the same thing.
She couldn't take it anymore, so she called a medium by the name of Louise Barlow. Louise was backlogged with clients, and usually people would have to wait several weeks just to get an appointment with her. But she said that something told her that she needed to make Fiona a priority. So Louise actually went over to her house that same day.
Oh, dang. That's lucky.
So Louise immediately felt that there had been some type of a ritual where a group of people had gotten together and did some awful things. She wasn't sure exactly what took place at the house or if it even took place in the house. It might have taken place on the land before the house was built. So she felt like the best way to deal with this was to kind of fight back. And that's what she told Fiona. You're just going to have to fight back.
Well, how do you fight back?
Well, good question. She called an exorcist friend of hers from the Liberal Catholic Church in Exeter. The priest, who still practices today, in fact, has confirmed that these events actually happened. He said that the children had been sacrificed
What they had gotten.
It was in a sort of a ritual that he said that they wouldn't wish to know about. So he didn't tell them the details.
Yeah.
Every time they threw holy water around, she said it was like you were throwing it on a bonfire. The ashes blackened and the smell was appalling. Little by little, the smoke dissipated. The house appeared to be clean and Fiona was ecstatic. She slept well for weeks after that. I mean, not in a row.
Oh, yeah, I know.
Because, that would be a long time.
It would be.
That's some Rip Van Winkle stuff. Life was back to normal as far as Fiona was concerned. But then Fiona met and married Bib.
Oh.
Bib.
Hot.
He was an electrician in the Merchant Navy. When he heard about everything that was going on, he wasn't exactly sure whether he could believe it or not. He was definitely skeptical. A few months after the wedding, Viv was out to sea. He was doing his job. And this left Fiona all alone, which really wasn't a problem because they hadn't had any issues. Even though Viv was gone, she was happier than she had been in years.
Good for her.
Oh, you like that when I'm gone? Never mind. Silence is golden. Your little darkness, my old friend.
Oh, no, I'm sad when you're not here.
That was until she wasn't happy. So the exorcism may have gotten rid of the children, but Fiona believes that there was still something else in the house. So one night she was awoken by the doorknob to her bedroom rattling, like somebody's trying to get into it, right? When she got up to check it out, the hallway light exploded.
Oh.
Much like your lip snap there.
Oh, sorry. Well, you know, we have to have sound effects.
Right. So whatever it was had come back with a vengeance, and it was 10 times worse than ever before, according to Fiona.
But I wonder why it took so long to come back.
I don't know. I think I might have your answer, though, coming up.
Oh.
So when Viv got back from sea, he too was targeted, usually at nighttime after he had gone to bed. So one night, and he doesn't know exactly how, but he fell down the stairs. I don't know why you think that's funny, but when I fall down the stairs, you laugh too. So I guess
I've got a warped sense of humor, I reckon.
He had no bruising and no real injuries, and he can't explain how he fell down the steps. Fiona called Louise. And Louise told her that even though they had freed the children, she had also made herself happy by getting married and everything.
Mm-hmm.
And maybe this is what brought the thing back, was now that she was truly happy.
Okay, so then the medium didn't sense anything else but the kids in it when she was there.
Apparently not. So this apparently, her being happy now, pissed off whatever this was. So after more than a year of being terrorized, Fiona and Viv were at the end of the rope. So they had heard a rumor of a local man by the name of John Parker. And he was very hard to track down, but he had a reputation for being able to see dead people.
That's cool.
He was a bricklayer by trade, and that's what he spent his days doing. But he had a gift. Now, he didn't like the fact that he had a gift, but it's something he'd always had. He said after he talked to Fiona and Viv, what he picked up from them was pure terror. He knew that there was a very serious problem in that house. So on 7 p.m. on June the 6th, 1993, John Parker arrived at Hawthorne Cottage. Now, he claims to have freed hundreds of trapped souls in his 30-year career. And he's never charged a penny.
Really?
Yes.
Oh, well, that's pretty nice of him.
So as John's in the house, they hear somebody running up the stairs. John follows the footsteps, or at least the sound of the footsteps. He said he knew that there had been sacrifice of children by a cult in the area.
Oh.
Once again, the priest hadn't been told this, the exorcist, and he hadn't been told this, but they all came up with the same thing.
That's wild.
Yes. So he was telling the entity that it didn't belong there. And Fiona said that during this time, the house started to shake as he's pretty much lecturing the
entity. Yeah.
So she had said she had never been so frightened as what she was having now. Viv said to actually hear and experience what was going on was like nothing he had ever experienced in his life. It took 6 long hours, but John did rid the house of the entity. He continued his work for years after that. He says, though, that Hawthorne Cottage was the worst that he had ever encountered in his 30 years.
Gosh, that says a lot.
And in 1995, Fiona was foreclosed on by the bank, And she then lived her life day by day in a camper all the way through the late 90s.
No way.
Yep.
Viv too?
Yeah. They lived together in the camper.
Oh, wow. Well, you know, I'm sure she hated that happened with her cottage and stuff, but at least she got the, well, no, I can't even say that. She didn't have really good memories in the thing, so, yeah.
So, oh, well. All right, guys, we are going to take a very quick sponsor break, and we'll be back because we've got more.
L-E-D-E-N-E-Z. Your night in just got legendary. Get ready to chase the rush, spin, win, and redeem instantly straight to your bank account at legendswithaz.com. With free-to-play slots, blackjack, keno, roulette, and more, experience all the thrills of Vegas without leaving your couch. Legends has it all.
Legends is a free-to-play social casino. Void where prohibited. Must be 18 plus. Play responsibly. Visit legends.com for full details.
Get in the game now and score a 50% bonus on your first purchase only at legendswithaz.com.
All right, Tracy, what if we finish up with a police officer encounter with a possible werewolf?
Oh, now that's a new one I haven't heard of.
So as you could probably guess, this officer would like to remain anonymous.
Oh, yeah.
So it all started with a call that came into the 911 dispatch from a very frightened woman. Well, the woman was frantic, and she said, and I'm going to quote on this, that a giant dog was trying to get into her house. She said that the animal tried to get into her door several times before she ever even made the phone call. So the dispatch asked if the animal was actually inside the home, and she replied no. And then dispatch asked if someone was trying to get inside the house. And the woman said, yes, a vicious dog.
That's like, yeah, like what did I say?
Like you hadn't heard me the first two times.
No doubt.
She said it was larger than any dog that she had ever seen before. So dispatch went ahead and stayed on the line with her. And they stayed on for several minutes with her until the officer arrived. So the officer gets out of the car. He walks up to the front door, flashlight in hand, and he knocks. Waiting for several seconds, and he knocks again. No response, because he didn't want to knock in the door, right?
Mm-hmm.
So instead, he walks all the way around the side of the house to see if maybe she might have came out another door. But about halfway up the driveway beside her house, he noticed a large missing section of fence. He looked, shined his flashlight on it, and he said it appeared to have been knocked down. Well, this led... the area where the fence was knocked down led to the property next door and then straight to the woods. So there was also large canine tracks right in front of the dirt leading up to the house. So the officer said that he crouched down to start the investigation. He saw something that he said will haunt him for the rest of his life. From less than 20 feet away was a snarling, wolf-like creature growling at him. It was standing on two legs, right by the tree line. He said it started heading off into the woods. The creature just lowered its head, it growled, and then jumped off straight along the tree line.
So he didn't really get a chance to, like, shoot at it or nothing?
No. He'd had his gun drawn, and he was ready. That's when these two men appeared, and they both had guns. They had their guns to their side, but they both had guns. They said that they were related to the woman that was inside the house. And he asked if they knew what the hell was going on. And they just kind of looked at him like he had two heads, according to the officer. And one of the men looked at the other and said, he don't know. So the other man kind of nodded his head kind of towards where the creature ran off to.
Mm-hmm.
And he then said that this house was being attacked by this strange wolf-like animal. He said the same creature had also attacked his daughter while they were trying to get her home from school a few weeks earlier. So they were part of a group of men who were basically searching down this creature like a vigilante group, searching this creature down for the last several weeks trying to kill it. This all came about after they started trying to find this thing after it had killed a bunch of livestock. So then the officer began to tell him about animal control And the men just kind of laughed it off. And they're like, dude, we tried that to start.
Right.
They were basically no help whatsoever because they didn't believe us.
Like maybe they did believe him and they just like, hell no, we ain't tackling that.
So then he showed the officer some pictures of his daughter's injury from his phone. He said that the pictures will remain etched in his mind forever. The daughter was lying on an ER table, stitches all across her right side, face, and neck.
Mm.
Her jaw had also been wired shut after being nearly ripped off by this thing.
Oh my gosh.
Both men immediately hear something and they turn their head towards the woods. They both drew their guns. And the one that had the pictures on his phone, he fired several times. He said you could hear the growling from a distance. Then, faintly beyond the light of the house in the darkness, was the creature. The officer was trying to figure out what he was looking at, because, you know, werewolves aren't real.
Yeah.
Are they?
Of course.
But he said, what the hell else could it be? So maybe it was some type of mutation or a lab experiment. He wasn't exactly sure. It then vanished in the woods. He took the names and numbers of the men that were out there. And then the woman that lived in the house refused to talk to him or even acknowledge his presence out there.
Get out of here.
So, anyway.
Gosh, that would be so scary to like come up on something like that.
But that's the story for this week.
Nice. Good job.
Tracy, we're going to talk a little bit about our Patreons and live shows and stuff going on, but then we've got our interview with Ken Bogle, star of the Emmy-nominated show on Hulu and Disney Plus, Living for the Dead.
Ooh, cool.
It was very fun.
Well, good.
All right, so the Casadega show is now over. I did want to mention we were trying to do a virtual event as well. And unfortunately, a couple of days before the show, that ended up getting canceled. There were some technical difficulties we couldn't foresee. And we'll try to get it going for St. Augustine, and we'll give people a lot more time to be able to sign up and then give us more time to get it figured out. So, but that is the next event, the St. Augustine event. That is our birthday party. Also, with History Goes Bump, there are locations right on the beach where you can stay. That's where the show's at. Not physically like in the sand, but in one of the buildings that are on the beach. That's going to be a blast. That is August 17th. Like I said, also History Goes Bump. It's going to be an absolute blast. We had a great time last time.
We did.
So there's that. We got the cruise. We are coming up on the end of the time to be able to get up on the cruise unless you're just going to pay for it in one lump sum.
Mm-hmm.
So now you still got a little bit of time. It has to be paid for by July. So
the first or the last?
I can't remember. I think it's like the middle. Yeah.
Of course it is.
I think. So Tracy, what do you got going on over there?
Well, we have a lot more reviews this week, which we appreciate you guys coming through for us.
Absolutely.
Rose Amy Nice, Kayla Vantrese, Jason B 007, Mojo Lobster, Clinique Dave, and Bobcat 6977. You guys rock. Thank you so much for doing that. It definitely does help us a lot.
Yes, it does. Nothing for Patreon this week. So with that being said, we will just move on to our interview with Ken Bogle. I hope you guys enjoy this.
Your night in just got legendary. Get ready to chase the rush, spin, win, and redeem instantly straight to your bank account at legendswithaz.com. With free-to-play slots, blackjack, keno, roulette, and more, experience all the thrills of Vegas without leaving your couch. Legends has it all.
Legends is a free-to-play social casino. Void where prohibited. Must be 18+. Play responsibly. Visit legends.com for full details.
Get in the game now and score a 50% bonus on your first purchase only at legendswithaz.com.
All right, guys, I'm excited about this one because I reached out to this gentleman a couple of years ago and we just kind of lost track of each other. Everybody's got busy schedules. His turned out to be a lot busier than mine with what he had going on. But I'm lucky enough tonight to have Ken Bogle on. And most of you will know Ken. He's one of the stars of Living for the Dead. You see it on Hulu. You see it on Disney Plus. I think Kristen Stewart is an executive director of the show. or something
yeah,
of
and
that
a
nature. So
co-creator, a
she's a co-creator, and of course,
narrator.
and a narrator. That's right. That's
Yeah.
right. I forgot she narrates. Dude, the show is Emmy nominated. Daytime Emmys have got you guys nominated. You're up against some stiff competition. But I mean, what an honor to have a show literally come out 6 months ago already had that kind of traction to be nominated for a Daytime Emmy. You have to be proud.
Well, yeah. And the competition is Angela Bassett for Queens of Africa. And Old Testament, like my competition's Angela Bassett and Moses. Like, how do you?
That's going to be tough.
How do you compete with the burning bush? I mean, Roz is great, but she's no burning bush. We leave that to Juju. But I think it's phenomenal. You know, it's phenomenal. I think it's important for a person to keep it in context. You know, you can't allow yourself to think like to let it go to your head. You know, you have to kind of stay grounded and cool about it. But it's a tremendous achievement. Like nobody I've ever known has ever been on Emmy nominated anything. So, and it's awesome because it's the first paranormal television show to ever be nominated for an Emmy. You know,
that's pretty cool in its own right.
Yeah. Yeah. I've done some good stuff for the paranormal industry. Well, I mean, always have, but now I get an Emmy, which is going to be fabulous.
So I want to touch on a couple of things. First of all, you're from, or I don't know if you're originally from, but you did live in Lexington. At the same time we were living in Lexington, that's what makes it so hard to believe we couldn't get connected. But, you know, you now are on to bigger and better things. And I don't mean that in a slight for anything that you did, but I mean, you're on an Emmy-nominated show that's seen by, you know, people across the country and probably across the world for that matter, when you figure the platforms that it's on. What do you think sets your show apart from the other paranormal shows? Now, obviously seeing it, I know the things that set it apart, but for somebody who hasn't seen it, what makes it so special, would you say?
I would say the cast. We're five totally unique, bizarre individuals who have no reason to ever be together. We often say that we all look like we're going to parties, but they're very different parties. You know, Roz is going to like, Roz is doing like a 60s, you know, go-go party. Juju's off to New Orleans. And, you know, I'm off to an Edgar Allan Poe speakeasy. And you know, and Juju, I mean, Alex is off to some kind of goth fairy, you know, rave. But I think it's that we come together, and you see it in the series, we gradually build this amazing family unit. I think also in our approach to how we deal with spirit, you know, we're not just screaming into the darkness and chastising or provoking. Like, we're treating these spirits as human beings, you know, like we're respecting them. And also that we're there to heal and help the living, you know? So it's not just about finding evidence. It's about what kind of life are these people living in these locations? What's their work like, you know, and how do we help them find peace in that environment? It's really a very beautiful show. I think that our approach and our unity is what really separates it from any other paranormal television program.
It's a very funny show. It's got, I'm trying to think of the best way to describe it, but you know, when you watch a lot of the other paranormal shows, it's like, okay, let's just get down to business. You know, and the Ghost Brothers were one of the first shows out there that kind of started throwing a little bit of humor and stuff in there. But you guys take it to a whole different level, I think. And my guess is that's why it's getting the acclaim that it's getting.
I think partially that. We have Roz Hernandez, who is a paranormal researcher, and she's a huge interest in the paranormal, has for ages. But her comedic style is, she's a genius, an absolute, like, she's hilarious. And you know, then you have the comedy aspect to it, but I think there's so much heart, you know, like we show that we are human and that we're there having a human experience, and it's a really beautiful thing to watch. I mean, every day there's somebody who writes me on some social media platform talking about how it affected them emotionally. And I always respect the people who came before me. I always respect Jason and Grant and Dustin. I respect, you know, Steve and Dave Tango and Dave Schrader, Shane Pittman. I respect them. And I think they did tremendous, wonderful things. Yvette and Carl Fielding in the UK for Most Haunted. They're pioneers, and I think they did amazing things. We just stood on the shoulders of the pioneers and said, here's next level. And we're going to do it as real individuals. You know, we didn't rehearse any of that. That's all us. You know, we didn't get scripts. That's us. And you know, we were genuine and sincere. And I think going to your point a little clearer, you were talking about how some shows were very kind of just get to business. Well, that's how I started the whole series. I was
Right.
like, slowly you see me chill out. which is not an easy thing to get me to chill out. But you slowly see me start to do that because I thought, you know, I was there to do what Jason and Grant did, which is protocol and process. No, it was more about the overall experience and the journey, not just the evidence. It's a very unique program.
So, Ken, you've always been active in the LGBTQIA community. How proud are you to be able to now help bring that into the forefront on television in a paranormal aspect? Because, like I've mentioned, the Ghost Brothers before, they were able to bring the African American aspect into it and show people, look, this is not just a community of a bunch of people that aren't different because we're different. We do that. And your show brings that other aspect in from your community. How happy are you to be able to see people finally recognize that everybody is involved when it comes to the paranormal?
Well, I'm proud. Like, I'm so proud. I'm like a peacock. Like, I'm so proud of it. I mean, this is the first time in a paranormal television series that a trans woman of color has had a voice. A trans woman, period, has had a voice in the conversation of life after death. And then you have Juju, who is a, now the term, although it was still offensive to me, but the term is now queer, who is a queer female of color who has a voice in this conversation. It's groundbreaking, and it in itself it blazes a trail. You know, it makes us pioneers. Never before has it been done on a platform like this. I mean, we're talking about 70 plus countries all over the world. I think somewhere I'm dubbed in Taiwanese. I don't know really how that works, but it's just phenomenal, absolutely phenomenal. And you can't help but look at the amazing end product of that series and not be overjoyed. Like, it is just a phenomenal program. But I was a little apprehensive about that. I mean, I know that the audience of the paranormal television programming is not typically the LGBT plus community. You know, it's just, it isn't. And so I didn't want to alienate that aspect of the show. I wanted to be proud of it and to showcase it, but I also didn't want to alienate, you know, Janet, who lives in Oklahoma, who is, you know, maybe doesn't follow the same kind of path or doesn't have the same perspectives on sexuality. I didn't want to alienate those people either. I wanted it to be a show where anybody can sit down and just watch something fantastic unfold. Even when they were coming up with names for the show, it started off with the most phenomenal name. I don't know if I'm allowed to say it, but I'm going to. It's called Spooky Bitches.
Nice.
I was like, done, like hit, like that. The title alone is everything you need. But then they discovered that, you know, some of that title had very negative connotations. It would be hard to promote it. And yes, that's all true. So they tried other titles that were very progressive that I felt would alienate some of our non-LGBT, population. And I didn't think that was fair. Because what we're doing is not about sexuality, it's about contributing to the conversation of life after death. And one day over donuts and coffee in the RV, Roz said, "What about living for the dead?" And I was like, "Oh my gosh, yes." And it just is, it just to me is a story that illustrates how proud I was that it is an LGBT cast, but how I wanted people to look beyond that to see the bigger story, you know?
Well, and I can say from somebody who's watched several episodes that when I watched the shows, I think they're fun shows. I
Yeah.
mean, that you cover some great places, places like Waverly that we all know, and then so you got that cool haunting aspect, and at the same time, it's a funny show. And I don't necessarily think about it being, the cast that is part of the, the community or any, I just think of it as a fun show. And I'm sure that's what you, the hope of it was, is that everybody could watch it. When we talk about our show, there's a lot of people that just aren't into the paranormal and,
Yeah.
or they're skeptics. And, we always said that we want it to be serious enough for the true paranormal lovers, but entertaining enough for the skeptics. So everybody would still like the show. And I think y'all pulled that off with that, with your show.
I totally agree. I totally agree. I totally agree. I think that in today's society, maybe even globally, the reality is that there's enough for us all to be divisive or divided over. Let's start seeing stuff that brings us together, that like that bridges these fundamental differences. I think that's what Living for the Dead does. I think that it shows in the Waverly Hills episode, we have a heterosexual relationship between Josh and Rachel where we help them get engaged, So I think it's just for everybody. I'm glad it didn't take the path of being so. I'm glad it didn't take the path of alienating anybody because I think the overall messages would have been lost and that would have been terribly sad. That'd been a very sad day.
Tell me a little bit about how the show actually came to be and how you got involved with the show.
So it's told to me that CJ Romero and Kristen Stewart were at brunch and they were have different sides of the brunch table, and CJ, who does Kristen's hair, was talking about ghosts, and Kristen was like, "That's interesting," and they kind of were shooting it back and forth, and she was like, "What about the gay Scooby-Doo?" And CJ was like, "What about the gay Scooby-Doo?" And so they kind of were talking about it. And I guess I'm the Velma.
I was thinking
Tiki's
Daphne,
got.
but that's okay.
Oh, well, we got Roz for Daphne, But I was the one who's like, "Come on, gang. I found a clue." That was very me. But anyhoot, they then got with Scout Productions, the Emmy Award-winning production company for Queer Eye for the Straight Guy and a bunch of other fantastic programs. They then got with a network. The network said green light, and they casted. My involvement was not great in the beginning. I didn't really want to do it just because I'd done Tarot Date with Ken Bogle for Nick Groff and Elizabeth Saint. So I felt like I had already done, I mean, I'd already made television history. Tarot Date with Ken Bogle was the first show in television history, streaming or otherwise, that ever had a centralized theme of tarot reading as its central theme. It's the only show to have ever done that. So I was like, well, what more can I achieve? Like, we can consider TV done, Then I got a phone. I got all these tweets from people like, "Ken, you have to do this. You have to do this." All these messages about Kristen Stewart, LGBT ghost hunters, and gay Scooby-Doo, and I was ignoring all of it. And then Elizabeth Saint called me, who I love, Elizabeth. She's still one of my greatest friends. She called me and said, "Well, I just filled out a form to be on this new show. And I think you need to do it too." And I was like, "Really, what show?" And she was like, "Kristen Stewart." And I was like, "Stop. I don't want to hear it. She's like, well, Ken, I actually just told them that if they didn't have you on the show, it was either rigged or it was going to be horrible. They have to have you on the show. So I'm on a limb. You have to go fill out these forms and do some videos, and they'd like to hear from you. And I did. And the more that I met from the casting to production, the more I realized I was being really stupid. This was a huge, wonderful experience to be on. And they were all so open, and they were all so, or their approach was so organic that I thought, I have to do this. Like, I cannot not, like, I have to, like, I gotta. And we did, I think it was like six interviews. And then they took, it went from thousands of people to 12. All 12 of us went to a haunted mansion in the Hollywood Hills, like, how fantastic is that? Emmys just everywhere. I wanted to lick one, but I didn't. I have a habit of trying to lick stuff, which is why I've had COVID 5 times, but I refrained. And then through the course of that weekend in this beautiful mansion in the Hollywood Hills, they would come grab somebody, take them outside, and that person would come back in crying, saying, I didn't make it. They wheeled it from 12 to 7, sent us home. And we, the seven of us, joined a group chat and started to get to know each other. And then they called one day and said, you made it. And I was shocked, really shocked, because they were all so young and so beautiful and, just amazingly talented. I was like, why? Like, how did I make it? And they're like, well, you have 30 years of experience in this, like, world of
Right.
spirit. And you have 15 years as a paranormal investigator, 10 of which have been a certified professional, like provable. And they said, and you're Southern charm personified. You're our, what do they call me? They said, you're our Delta bird. And I was like, I can do that. I can do Delta bird. And so the five of us who made it to the show, we all joined a separate group chat, and we got to know each other. Played games and spent the night on the phone together on video. What is it called? FaceTime. We were FaceTiming each other and Zooming. We were doing the tech and getting to just kind of hang out. And it was really great. We became great friends.
Well,
So that was my
the
journey into
chemistry shows, the chemistry shows.
it. Yeah. I think it's like that because we all respect each other, and we also stay in our own lane. I wouldn't go someplace trying to tell a joke or trying to do research. That's what Roz does. And when it comes to being a medium, when I first met Logan at the chemistry test, my grandmother's spirit came to me and said, honey, he's better than you. You're going to have to switch gears if you want to do this. So I try to take on the paranormal investigation lead role. Because Alex is a tech guru. And in terms of spirituality, Juju is a mountain, So that's sort of where I fit in. And then over the course of time, I just became, Uncle Ken. And I was just the dad, the corny dad who sits around like a house plant doing paranormal investigating with my buddies. And it was really cool. It was a great experience.
All right, so let's switch gears a little bit.
Okay.
It wouldn't be fair for me to have somebody with your expertise on the show and not have you discuss some of the really cool experiences you've had over your 30 years. So let's start with the show, though. Give me a couple of your favorite experiences that you've caught or you guys as a team have caught while in some of these haunted locations while filming the show.
Well, it's just a bummer because my favorite moments weren't caught and kept in the series. Like, we did a spirit board session where it spelled out a name. And then, with all 10 of our, like, everybody, all five of us had two fingers on the planchet. And we were sitting above the board. So, physics tells you that our weight, however light, was going downward on the planchet. And it spelled out this name, and then the planchet lifted. I said, did it just lift? And then suddenly, boom, it was like something was crashing through the piano that was sitting next to us. And Logan jumped up. I grabbed him by his pajama pants and pulled him down and said, "Don't leave the circle," you know, because I'm very Victorian in how I run seance. And it just didn't make it to the series. I loved the Waverly Hills episode, getting my tail, because I was dressed as the big bad wolf who had just ate the granny and put on her clothes. I loved having my tail tugged. I thought that was crazy unique. There was no reason for it whatsoever, no provable normal reason for it. The other thing that I enjoyed about it was, you know, the Copper Queen. When I went to the Copper Queen, I was expecting that it was a little boy who had died somewhere nearby. And that's kind of where my thought was. Like, we're going to go into this hotel that, you know, people are killing themselves. There's a rough history of sex workers and, you know, sexual assaults, suicide. It's going to be tough. I had no idea how tough it was going to be. No idea. So at 3 o'clock in the morning, when I was trying to decompress, the trigger object we had, which was a EMF detector inside of a teddy bear for this little boy's spirit, at 3 o'clock in the morning kept going off to the point where every time I would lay down, it would go off. And it was through our research and through the work that we were doing that we discovered the little boy had actually been murdered in that room. He didn't drown in a nearby lake. He was murdered in the bathtub right next to my bed. So for me, that was a really profound experience because it was one of the times that you really get to be a paranormal investigator, you know, which you know what that's like when you get to really go in and be a paranormal investigator and do the research and speak to the property owners, the people who are employees there, and you get to do the tests and you get to, you know, do the EVP sessions and all this. It was a wonderful experience. I wish that somebody would have had a camera because I immediately went to Roz's room and knocked on her door, and her and CJ were in the room together just hanging out because Roz is terrified to sleep by herself. It sounded like somebody had thrown a grocery cart full of frozen turkeys in the bathtub. It was like, blah, 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 blah. I was like, hello, hello, you know, and I wanted to come in and hang out, but nobody would answer the door except Alex, you know. So we went to my room and did facial masks and watched British television until we fell asleep. And anyway, that was my favorite paranormal experience, though, was to just go through the process of investigating the Copper Queen. The other thing I really loved was not really paranormal at all. It was being able to go to the Haunted Mansion in Arizona and uncover that the truths that our client had omitted. And I'm grateful to the editing team of that because they edited me to be a lot nicer than I was because I really was very nasty. And they were like, "This is not Uncle Ken's vibe. You're nicer than this." And I was like, "Fuck that. You can't do a paranormal investigation when people are lying to you." I was like, "Bring her in here. I got things to say." Roar. And I look like a teddy bear, but I'm really a grizzly. So I was going on one, and they really made it me look a lot nicer than I was. But yeah, those were my favorite experiences from the show.
Let's talk a little bit about your tarot reading.
Yeah.
Because that's, I'll be honest with you. It's something that I don't have a lot of experience in. I know some people who, quote unquote, claim to do it, but I put a little more faith in your knowledge of it because you've done it so long. You've had TV shows talking about it. So tell me a little bit about it. If I was somebody who knew nothing about it and I said, "Ken, how the hell can you flip over some cards and tell me anything about my future or my past or who I am as a person? How does that work?" What would your explanation be?
There are 78 cards in a traditional deck. Every person or experience that you can have as a human being is illustrated in one of these 78 cards. And they, through the power of divinity, through the power of spirit, whatever that great cosmic forces fall into a patterns when you do them in the spread that speak great truths about somebody's life. they allow you some clarity, guidance, answers, and predictions. And it's like my good friend Tina Turner said once, if you can see something clearly, you can change anything. So when you open the tarot cards up and you start really investigating somebody's life and you start getting these real truths out, you can change somebody's life. You can take situations that seem like mountains and turn them into pebbles. In just 30 minutes, you can do that. I've done it thousands of times. I mean, June makes 32 years that I've done this. You know, 32 years of shuffling tarot cards. And they've never let me down, not once. And they just are an incredible tool to understand life and get through it.
I wish I'd have sat down with you when we were back in the same city.
I do too. I really do. I wish you had. Yeah.
Is there one particular session, whether it be through card reading or whether it be through paranormal investigating, that stands out as like an achievement that you're just so proud of, like, or just so happy that this happened for whatever reason? Is there anything that stands out to you above everything else you've done?
There's so many, Jerry. Honestly.
Okay. Just pick one then that comes to mind.
I can't. I'll do them really quickly though. I had a reading once where this woman's doctors had told her she'd never be a mother. Predicted children. I gave her some good Southern advice about how to make those children happen. Boom, she has a baby girl named Muriel. I had a client who spent her days saving people's lives, but when she went home, she would cut herself. I helped her stop that pattern of behavior. She most recently returned from the Ukraine, where she was over there teaching these young men and women how to do in-the-field combat EMS services. I've helped women leave abusive men. I've helped men leave the bar and pick up where they left off with their families. I've helped people avoid bankruptcy. I've helped people connect with lost loved ones in a way that has healed their souls. So in 32 years, I've done tremendous, amazing things, but those are the most profound. I'll tell you that there was one, though, that shook me. And that was a lady who wanted to speak to her mother. And when I dealt the cards to see her mother, everything around me went black. Not normal for me, except for this tiny pin of light that I could see in the distance. And that pin of light was getting closer and closer and closer. And as it did, I realized it was a face. And the face was smiling maniacally, menacing. And it was creased with just like, it just looked evil. And then my spirit guide said, "This is her mother." And I pushed back from the table and I disconnected and looked at the daughter and said, and she, by this time, the daughter was in her late 30s. I said, "Your mother was an evil, horrible woman, and she was proud of it. And I don't know why on earth you would ask me to speak to her." She said, "I needed somebody to say that because my mother was horrible." And that opened the door for the daughter to confess things that had happened to her, that her mother had done to her proudly, selling her for drugs, selling her for rent. To pay rent, she was selling her daughter off. And it opened up this amazing, it was a cathartic moment that led to real healing. And like most of all of my tarot card readings that I do, it ends in a hug. And this woman just got up from her seat and we grabbed a hold of each other and held each other tight and sobbed. And I saw her years later. She had lost 60 pounds and gone to therapy, and her marriage was better. Her life with her children was better. She'd stopped all the hatred, the self-hatred, the guilt, and the shame. It was a profound moment. Scary as hell. It was scary as hell because that was an evil chick.
Well, that's an awesome story, though. And I'm glad you were able to come through. But you're right. Sometimes people just need confirmation. And because they feel guilty for thinking that way until they realize that, you know what, that was a legitimate thought that now is confirmed.
Or that it was natural for them to feel that way, that they were having a natural response. It's just an amazing source of, I hate to say that it's therapeutic, but it is therapeutic.
We are talking to Ken Bogle of the Emmy-nominated Living for the Dead on Hulu and Disney Plus. Ken, where can people find out more about you as a medium, as a tarot reader, as a movie star, TV star? I'm gonna throw it all out there because movie star, I'm sure, is coming at some point. Where can they find out more about you and find out more about the show?
Well, you would go to kenboggle.com to find out more about me and to book readings or to get in touch with me about attending one of my classes because I teach psychic development and I teach tarot. But these are intense classes. It's not for wussies. Like you get homework and there's expectation. If you don't do it, I drop you. And I say terrible things to your face. Like it's real work. But you would just go to kimboggle.com. You would also probably want to follow me on social media. You'd want to follow me on social media because that's like I post everywhere. So just go to Ken Boggle. You can Google it. to find out more about the show, you would go to Hulu or Disney Plus, and you can watch all 8 episodes there.
When is the Emmys? Is that in July or June?
That's in June.
Okay, I knew it was in the summer. I couldn't remember. So we're a couple months away. Are you nervous?
I mean, Angela Bassett and Moses. I mean, how can you not be nervous? Like, yeah, I'm terrified. But the reality is, I believe in the work that we did, and it really is an honor just to be nominated. And I believe that if we win and we beat Angela Bassett and Moses, you won't be able to tell me shit. I will be insufferable. We also have the GLAAD Awards coming up in May. So that's for excellence in LGBT broadcasting. I think we have a fine shot there as well. I think when I don't know who we're up against, maybe RuPaul or something, but she's got all the damn trophies. She don't need no more. Not
Right.
RuPaul.
It's start spreading that stuff around. I get with you.
Yeah, she's already done had hers. It's time for us to have some, you know?
Ken, it's been a blast having you on, man. It's been a long
Oh.
time happening. I wish we could have done this a couple of years ago, but we wouldn't have been able to talk about Living for the Dead if we'd have done
Yeah.
this 2 years ago. So this is awesome.
Absolutely. Well, and as a matter of fact, I got one more thing to say. I just finished the book, Becoming Ken Boggle, From the Holler to Hulu. And it's going to be, I'm sending it out to my agents and lawyers and managers tomorrow. So that will come out soon. And I want everybody to kind of keep an eye on that because it'll be the first time in literary history an autobiography has ever been done through the major arcana of the tarot. I teach you about tarot and how my life has been affected by it and how my life represents it. So please keep your eyes open for that. Becoming Ken Boggle, it's been a really, it's been a labor of love. And I really want people to see that come out because it's a real book about, I told all my garbage, all of it. And it's racy. It is good. So hopefully Audible will let me narrate it because I'd love to tell those. I like to tell those stories myself. And yeah, see me for readings, see me for classes, but I watch the show and just allow it and just enjoy it. And you'll see by the end of it that you change a little bit. You change as we change. And thank you for having me on. I'm so incredibly knocked out. Hopefully I wasn't too nervous.
No,
But
I thought you did fantastic. I will advise people. If nothing else, at least go watch the trailer for it. And once you watch the trailer, you're going to want to go watch the episode. So it's a good 2 to 3 minute clip of what you get, and I think it's pretty representative. And you'll fall in love with it before you even get to watch the first episode.
very true. Very true.
Ken, thanks for coming on, buddy. It's been a pleasure.
Thank you, Derry. Have a good day.
Your night in just got legendary. Get ready to chase the rush, spin, win, and redeem instantly straight to your bank account at legendswithaz.com. With free-to-play slots, blackjack, keno, roulette, and more, experience all the thrills of Vegas without leaving your couch. Legends has it all.
Legends is a free-to-play social casino. Void where prohibited. Must be 18+. Play responsibly. Visit Legends.com for full details.
Get in the game now and score a 50% bonus on your first purchase only at Legends with a Z.com. Legends, the greatest social casino experience, has arrived at Legends.com. With thousands of the best free-to-play casino-style games, chances to earn millions of bonus coins and win real money. Legends is revolutionizing the Vegas experience wherever you are. If you love winning, then you'll love playing at Legends.com. Legends is a free-to-play social casino. Void where prohibited. Play responsibly. Visit Legends.com for more information. Legends with a Z.com is legendary fun.